While I'm getting situated, you might want to turn to Daniel chapter 9. The Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 9. And we'll be spending just about all our time right here in chapter 9. Let's begin in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Asarias, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king of the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Now verse 13. As we go through these next few verses, note the word understand and understanding. The word understand and the word understanding. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, before the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, tonight, we are going to attempt to understand what Christian obedience is. Christian obedience in its essence. And we will seek to understand what God is truly looking for in each of our lives tonight. Nevertheless, there are some important questions, I think, that as a child of God, that I need to ask myself to uncover and discover what personal obedience truly involves. Now, we can only find these answers in God's Word, I believe, which must always be the final authority in my thinking and in my conduct as a Christian. So, here are a few questions that I trust that the Spirit of God tonight will give us His answers to. The first question is, what is God's pattern for obedience? What is God's pattern for obedience? Does God indeed have a revealed path to which all of His own should follow? The second question is, where does obedience come from? Where does obedience come from? Which leads us into a third question. How is obedience produced in my life? Now, these are questions that need answering. And I also believe that they are questions that we Christians have perhaps lost our way on. Because I, many times, have failed to go God's way and follow God's pattern concerning my personal obedience. What passes for outward obedience is many times simply a product of the flesh. Now, this is crippling to my personal life as one of God's own. And it is crippling in a local assembly of God's people. There can be no true blessing from God in my personal life or in the life of the assembly when obedience is not produced in God's way. God's way. So let us start our examination of these things with this great man of God, the prophet Daniel. Now, you will discover that all of God's great men and women in the Bible, they all understood God's ways concerning the obedient life. Now, here in chapter 9 in Daniel, and Daniel comes before his God and he deals with his people's sin. That's the first thing that we notice. Now, we need to understand that Daniel himself was not responsible, nor did he participate in Israel's great disobedience to their God. But I want you to notice something which is quite striking. And this will start to reveal to you and me the answer to the question, how is obedience produced in my life, and where does it come from? Note verse 20. Daniel says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God, before the holy mountain of my God." Now, was Daniel here in verse 20? Simply interceding for Israel's sins? Well, no, he was not. And this is very, very important to understand. Notice in verse 20 what he said. He said, "While I was speaking and praying and what? Confessing my sin." Now, do you see, and I hope you will before we end up tonight, that Daniel understood God's way to obedience? Daniel, great man of God that he was, had sins to confess just as well as his people Israel did. He said, "And confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel." Now, what does this have to do with obedience? Well, first of all, the reason Daniel was a great man of God and why God greatly used this man was because of his repentant, contrite heart. Now, to better grasp this great truth, look at verse 13, where I told you to note the word understand, which is used in this verse. "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." Now, first of all, turning from iniquities is repentance, isn't it? Turning from iniquities is repentance, isn't it? Yes, and what will be produced from this repentance? Now, if we are not careful, we will miss this. Daniel says, we must turn from our iniquities, and then at this point, something will happen to us. He says, and understand thy truth. Now, dear Christians, repentance produces understanding of God's truth. Put that in your mind. When I go about my daily life with an unrepentant, unhumbled heart, God will give me no spiritual understanding, either about myself or about others. The result of this is that it will effectively block my obedience to God. And we're going to understand this better in a minute. James, in the New Testament, in speaking to Christians, in speaking to Christians about Christians, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. He wasn't talking to the unsaved. Pride is the opposite of humbleness. Now, we might not think that we are proud. But if there is no humbleness, if there is no brokenness, if there is no contrition in my daily life, God will resist me, James says. And he was speaking to Christians there. In other words, he will give me no understanding. Now, we need to get it firmly into our minds that pride is equivalent to a lack of repentance. Christians do not understand this concept. They have an entirely different concept about what pride is. Pride is equivalent to a lack of repentance in my heart. So we have a wrong idea of what pride is. Where there is no contrition, God cannot give us understanding that will lead to obedience. Let me say that again. God, where there is no contrition, no humbleness of heart, God cannot give me understanding to my heart that will lead me to obedience. He cannot do it. It's against his nature. How can we live a truly obedient life if we have little or no understanding from God? Doesn't make sense, does it? Now, to further grasp this concept, look at verse 23, where the word understand is used again. Well, let's go to verse 22 for context. And he, that is Gabriel, informed me, that is Daniel, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show you, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, we have already noted from verse 13 that personal repentance and contrition and humbleness of heart produces true understanding of God's truth to me personally. And this, in turn, this understanding will produce obedience in my life. So, in verse 23, after Daniel has confessed his own sin and dealt with his own heart, not just the sins of his people, but his own heart as well, he is given divine understanding. And notice what Gabriel tells him. He says, for thou art greatly beloved. You see, Daniel was known in heaven, and he was loved in heaven because of his submissive, contrite heart. And because of this, he was given understanding and wisdom from God concerning the things that were to come at the end of this very age in which we live. And Daniel faithfully proclaimed, in true obedience to God, the things that God revealed to him. He was obedient. He was obedient. Now, because Daniel's heart was right before God, God gave him understanding, which in turn led to his personal obedience. Now, you see there, Christians, repentance and contrition prepares the heart to do God's work in God's way. Now, I as a Christian can try to go around this and circumvent this divine process. And we frequently do. But God will not and cannot bless my own personal efforts or the efforts of His collective assembly if I do not go God's way. Now, dear Christians, the Bible submits to us. It makes the contention that if I, as a Christian, do not humble myself, do not deal with my heart in repentance, God will not give me understanding that will lead to my personal obedience. Why is that? Because an unhumbled heart, an unrepentant heart, a heart that lacks contrition, is a blinded heart. And a blinded heart needs to have the scales removed to be able to see and understand God's things, divine things. But here is the problem. Many Christians are unaware and are oblivious that this is indeed their heart's condition. Now, let me tell you something, dear ones, and I say this from experience. You do not know how blind your heart is until you start dealing with your heart before God. And I will affirm to you that the Scriptures are indeed right and correct. God will give me understanding about myself. He will lift and take away the blindness that I have and begin to give me true, clear understanding. And as I gain divine understanding, my obedience will inevitably follow. Now, to further see this, we can look at David, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But let me read to you what Psalm chapter 51 and verse 6 says. Now, in this verse, David is here confessing his sin in this entire book, Psalm 51, confessing his sin and dealing with his own heart before God. And he says this in verse 6. He says, "Behold, thou, O God, desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." David is saying, if I, as a Christian, will come before God and expose my true heart to Him in humbleness and contrition. Remember, David said, "Thou, God, desirest truth in the inward parts." Then what will God do? It says, God will make me to know wisdom in the hidden part. Is this not the same experience that Daniel had? It is. As Daniel said in verse 13, that we might turn from our iniquities, that's repentance, and then understand thy truth. Dear Christian, it is only when I deal with my own heart that God will then be able to give me understanding and wisdom. There's no other way. And what happens to me after I receive this understanding and wisdom about myself? Well, in short, it will lead me to obedience. And how is that? Well, it is so because I will have an overcoming, overriding desire and conviction to do what God has shown me about myself. David and Daniel were passionate men. They were passionate for God. The reason they were passionate for God is that they dealt with their heart. It led them to obedience. Now, please understand, this divine process that God does will take time. It is a progressive, ever-growing process that will lead me to obedience. Now, dear ones, we absolutely must understand that this is God's only path to obedience. It can come about in no other way. There are no shortcuts. Believe me, I've tried. Now, let me ask you, when you come to Christ, when you came to Christ, look back to your salvation experience. When you came to Christ, did you come without repentance and contrition? Did you? No, you know you didn't. The way we come to Christ in salvation is the same way and the same process that God uses after salvation. Recall again what James said in James chapter 4 and verse 6 when he spoke to those believers there. He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It is true of the unsaved man. It is no less true of you and me. Don't think that it is not. It is indeed possible that I, as a Christian, can be totally unaware that I am proud. Pride, dear ones, is anything that is not in submission to God. This is why every one of us has to humble ourselves before God every day. Every day. If we do not, God will resist us. This is what the scriptures plainly teach. Daniel was a great man of God before the events of chapter 9 ever occurred. He was a great man of God. However, Daniel recognized, as we have to, that divine understanding and obedience will only come to me through a humbled, repentant heart before God. It does not matter where you are in spiritual stature. Great or small, it makes no difference. This is God's way. It's God's way. Now, the scriptures teach us what God's pattern, what God's path is to true obedience. The scriptures show us where obedience comes from. It is my humbled, contrite heart brought before Him. The scriptures show us how obedience is produced in my life. It is my daily, continual acknowledging of my sin, my failures, and my shortcomings before God, who on His part will then give me wisdom and understanding, and with it, a great convicting desire to please Him. Now, my Christian obedience comes the same way that my salvation came. There are no shortcuts. There are no ways to go around. I've tried every one of them. There are no ways to circumvent. There is no way but God's way. Let each of us determine to go God's way and take God's path to true obedience, dear ones. Now, Daniel understood this. All of all of God's great men and women understood this. Now, if I will understand this, the result will be great joy for me in my life right now, and great glory brought to my God now and in eternity. Michael, I believe he has some prayer requests for us.